You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Content warning. Nerdbliss is intended for a mature audience.
This episode contains spoilers for Star Trek, Lower Decks, Season 1.
Episode 134, Epilogue, Part 1. In episode 134, the hosts of Nerdbliss and a team of contributors gave you their thoughts on Star Trek Lower Decks. And if you're one of our Patreon supporters, we gave you the uncut and uncensored segments with the Nerdbliss hosts. A full hour of content, including 30 minutes of exclusive material not found in the main episode. This is a good time to mention that you can get access to this content if you support Nerdbliss on Patreon with as little as $1 per month. But this, the episode you're listening to right now, is the first of a two-part epilogue featuring the full interviews with our guest contributors from episode 134. Our guest speakers gave us so much great material that there was no way we were going to get the best of it entirely in the main episode, or even in a full episode dedicated entirely to their contributions. So you will hear from six of our contributors in this episode and the remaining four in part two. As an added bonus, we're including some Star Trek Lower Decks trivia questions between each segment. So you better stow that shore leave contraband and set aside some buffer time, because this is your Star Trek Lower Decks Second Contact episode of Nerdbliss.
Strike wing, standing by the launch.
Connect interlocks. Dials are connected.
Connector FS of power.
All stations.
Ready.
Nerdbliss.
It's now online.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Nerdbliss. If you like that corny theme music, just ring the bell on the way in and let us know we did a good job. I am your host, Chris. So what we have here today, we did our Star Trek Lower Decks episode 134. You probably listened to the intro. You know what we did. Now, as usual, I know what you're thinking. Like, Chris, you gave us like over an hour of Lower Decks in 134, and because we're awesome listeners and support you on Patreon, we also heard that other hour of Lower Decks you gave us there, and now you're going to give us like, what, two more hours of Lower Decks? Look, I know what you're thinking, and I understand your concern, but I'm telling you, you really need to hear what our guest contributors had to say about Lower Decks. They know what they're talking about. They're entertaining. In addition to our very interesting guest contributors, we're going to have some Star Trek Lower Decks trivia between each segment. We're going to ask the question, and at the beginning of the next segment, you will get the answer and your next question. But you won't have to put up with much more Lower Decks material, because our next episode, that would be episode 135, is going to be dedicated to The Mandalorian. So yeah, probably going to have lots of material on that as well. But at least it's not Star Trek Lower Decks, right? Anyway, thank you so much for your patience and for putting up with my nonsense. So in this part of the epilogue, we are going to hear from Eric L. Watts. We are going to hear from Evan Harris, Erica Figueroa, Jeff Jewell, Layla McMichael, and finally, Brian Holloway. So before we get to our first contributor, we're going to start with our first trivia question. All right, are you ready? Question number one. In the season finale of Star Trek Lower Decks, the Cerritos is visiting the planet Beta 3, the inhabitants of which are now worshiping a computer named Landru. What Star Trek original series episode is this a callback to? That's your first question, and you're going to get the answer to that question, as well as question number two, after we hear from Mr. Eric L. Watts.
I am Eric L. Watts. I have been a Star Trek fan since I was in junior high school, which is to say, almost 50 years. I have been active in Star Trek fandom for more than 40 years, and have served that fandom in a number of leadership positions. For most of that time, I was too modest to call myself an expert in Star Trek. But given what I have seen in many of the Facebook Star Trek groups, it's become rather clear that I am one. Given my vast knowledge of the franchise, I suspect that I have forgotten more about Star Trek than most other so-called fans will ever know. Star Trek Lower Decks is the tenth television series to carry the Star Trek name. It is the second Star Trek series to be fully animated, but it is the first to be, what? A parody? A satire? A comedy? Non-canon? Arguments could be made for all of these. It is unprecedentedly self-aware, continuously poking fun at itself within the framework of a dramatic story. It is literally fan fiction written by actual Star Trek creators. It seems to me that the entire premise of Lower Decks is to answer the question, can Star Trek be funny? We already know that it can be successfully lighthearted and humorous when it wants to be, as evidenced by the iconic episode The Trouble with Tribbles, and of course, the hugely successful fourth movie, The Voyage Home. And we've all seen the many fan-created parodies and satires on YouTube that are often hilarious. But can a Star Trek series be consistently and canonically funny? Can Star Trek be a sitcom? Possibly, but this isn't it. There are certainly plenty of one-liners and in-jokes that are good for a chuckle. Space helmet, anyone? But for a sitcom to be funny, that is a situation comedy, then the situation must be funny. So far, Lower Decks hasn't given us that. But it's only one season old, and as every Star Trek fan knows, the first season of any Star Trek series is usually a bit shaky and sometimes not very good. Perhaps the second season, currently in production, will be more successful. I have to say that watching Lower Decks can be exhausting. Compared to all other Star Trek series, it is loud and fast-paced, no one more so than the lead character of Mariner. Let's set aside for a moment the fact that her unprofessional antics would never be allowed, much less depicted, on a traditional live-action Star Trek series, and just point out that she is sassy, brassy, and talks way too fast. I personally find it annoying to have to stop and rewind a snippet of dialogue, sometimes more than once, to try to understand what is actually being said, not just by her, but many of the other characters as well. I would find the series considerably more palatable if they would slow it down a bit so I could actually hear what's being said the first time.
All right. Thank you, Eric, for sharing your thoughts and opinions on Lower Decks. Before we go on to our next contributor, we're going to answer trivia question number one. The Cerritos was in orbit around planet Beta 3, where the inhabitants had gone back to worshiping a computer named Landru. What Star Trek original series episode is this a callback to? It is The Return of the Archons, and that is the 22nd episode of the first season of the original Star Trek series. Moving on to question number two. The chief medical officer of the Cerritos, Dr. Tiana, is of the Kashian race. She is the second Kashian character in Star Trek lore. Who is the first? All right, be thinking about that. And while you're doing that, let's listen to Evan Harris.
Hey, this is Evan Harris, local Greenville theater actor and co-host of the Bearded Ones Comedy Podcast and host of the Lucky 10,000 Podcast. Just going to answer some questions from Chris about Lower Decks. Define the show in your own words. Borders on parody. The animation style is very hyper without being too overwhelming. It's funny. Yeah, so a comedic love letter to Star Trek. Three, if you like Star Trek Lower Decks, what do you like about it? Give examples where possible, be as verbose as you like. I do like it. I was worried at first. I watched, you know, the first 5 minutes of the first episode and went, oh, no. Mainly because I think, as a show, I think it would work better as a parody and not canon. That's really my biggest issue with it, is that it's considered canon. But it is funny. There's a lot of inside jokes. You know, the references to things that I don't think anyone else would get. You know, the Exacomp in that one episode is kind of a deep dive into a less celebrated episode of The Next Generation. You know, there's tons of references. There are tons of blink and you miss it little things that a Star Trek fan would see and really appreciate. So, yes, I do like it. But I would say, not that I'm necessarily answering for if you didn't like Star Trek Lower Decks, but my biggest issue with it is that it is canon. And, you know, especially when you get towards the end of the season and Riker and Troy pop up and they're just playing sort of exaggerated versions of themselves. That's when I'm just kind of like, eh. If this wasn't Star Trek, but obviously meant to be Star Trek, kind of like the Orville, I think I would like it a little bit better. But yes, I do like it. Five, in what ways does Star Trek Lower Decks succeed or fail as a comedy? Well, it has a very kinetic energy, and that's, I think, a big part of its success. The characters are likable, and, you know, they have flaws, and it's funny to see those flaws play out. I love animation with nice facial expressions, and, like, there's that one episode where the daughter of the captain is leaving the ready room, and she kind of does the Vulcan thing, and she's flashing her hands as the door closes, and that made me chuckle. I mean, that kind of stuff. The timing of the show was very good. Again, the in-jokes are very good, and a lot of the humor comes from the characters, and I think that's always, apart from just straight-up physical humor, I think that's always where some of the funniest stuff happens, is the characters are well-defined, so when something does happen that's amusing, it comes from that. And I think that is what makes it really work. In what days does Star Trek Lower Decks succeed or fail as a Star Trek show? I mean, I think I've addressed it already. I think it's not really a Star... I mean, it technically is a Star Trek show, but, you know, especially at the beginning of the season, the captain is very petty. The commander, first officer, is not a good Starfleet liaison. I mean, this is the guy they're sending down for first contacts, and all he wants to do is rip off his shirt and fight. It might be more Star Trek than some of the newer Star Trek shows. I actually just finally watched Picard, and I'm like, yeah, it's okay, but I don't know that I'd say it's Star Trek. So in that aspect, in the optimism department, I think it is more of a Star Trek show. It definitely harkens back to Next Generation aesthetically, but it doesn't really succeed as a Star Trek show because it is a straight-up comedy. Like, I remember hearing William Frakes saying that he would love to do a half-hour, you know, sitcom with Riker and Deanna Troi, and I think that's a beautiful idea as long as it's not Riker and Deanna Troi, because once you make it, you could parody them, you could have the characters basically be them, just under different names, and do all the stuff you want to do. But the silliness of the show, while entertaining, kind of makes it fail as a Star Trek show. Seven, if you like the show, who are your favorite characters and why? I'm terrible with names. The main cast, all of the main cast are great. I love the relationship between the two main characters. The guy and the chick, it is kind of a will they, won't they. You know, obviously they kind of like each other more than friends. I do love the green girl. She reminds me of a good friend of mine. Shout out to Claire Clausen. Basically her in animated green form. So I you know, I don't have any characters on the show that I dislike, but I guess, you know, those would be my favorites. The Exocomp was actually pretty funny. Nice character. Not 100% sold on the Doctor. Just like, hey, we got a cat person, so she's going to be a cat because it's sci-fi. I'm just like, man, she's kind of the crotchety old Dr. McCoy, but I'm not, I don't know that that works. So she's not my favorite. But, and like I say, the captain at the beginning of the season especially was very petty, and I didn't see that as being a captain. Like, you can have the Lower Decks people do a lot of silly stuff as long as the upper echelon officers are sort of representing Starfleet in the right way. But that character definitely grew on me as the season progressed, and especially at the end when she finally comes to grips with the fact that the crew knows that this ensign is her daughter, and they kind of bond. I liked that, so I liked her more. The first officer, he's funny, but again, not representative of Starfleet. I know I'm taking this very seriously, but it's canon, so I kind of gotta. So, you know, he's funny, but he's very two-dimensional and not my favorite. So, yeah, the main core four characters I genuinely enjoy. Is there anyone involved in the making of Star Trek Lower Decks that stand out for you? It's nice to see Jerry O'Connell get work again. I haven't seen him in a while. No, I mean, we're in the middle of this weird Star Trek renaissance, so all the names I've seen on the production credits are pretty much the names I would expect. And then connects to the larger Star Trek universe that's on TV right now. So I don't think there's anybody that particularly stands out as far as the production crew is concerned. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, just saying, you know, I didn't see a name and go, oh, I'm glad they're involved. But it was nice to see some of the voice actors get work. And, you know, as silly and over-exaggerated as they were, it was nice to see Riker and Troy back again, even though I'd just seen them back in Picard. But yeah, I mean, the reverence for Star Trek as a whole is what I think sells the show for me, other than just being a cute cartoon. And finally, miscellaneous thoughts. I think I've said it all. I do like the show. I have to sort of adjust my brain when I'm watching it to go, oh no, this is Star Trek. You know, it would be nice if there was another way to do it where it wasn't canon, but if you're going to do it, I think they've done a pretty good job.
Thank you, Evan. We very much appreciate your input. Guys, go show Evan some love. He has two podcasts out there, Lucky 10,000 and The Bearded Ones. Go check those out. Guys, The Bearded Ones is one of the funniest podcasts that Tina and I have ever listened to. And we mean that sincerely. You definitely owe it to yourself to check it out. All right, before we move on to our next segment, we're going to give you the answer to trivia question number 2. Who was the first Cajun character in Star Trek lore? That would be Lieutenant Mares from Star Trek the Animated Series. Moving on to question number 3. What class of starship is the Cerritos? What class of starship is the Cerritos? We'll give you the answer to that question after the following segment, starring Erica Figueroa. But first, we're going to tell you about some of the other fine shows on the ESO Network.
Here at the Cosmic Pizza Podcast, we make every show from the finest ingredients.
Juicy interviews, fiery film nights, delicious desert island DVDs.
And pack it all into a slice of life in every episode.
Order up our specials now from your delivery guys.
Sean from Canada.
Dan from Kent in the UK.
And Paul from near Liverpool in the UK.
Here on the ESO Network.
The Cosmic Pizza Podcast.
Serving you a slice of life.
Mm-mm.
Mission commencing.
This is Wookiee Radio.
Translated for the Wookiee Imperative.
I like that Wookiee.
Your hosts, Ken, Derek, and Mike, bring you the latest news and commentary from the far reaches of the galaxy.
Hold it. I said hold it.
Subscribe today on iTunes and Stitcher.
I just assumed he's a Wookiee.
Start listening today, and remember,
the Force will be with you, always.
Hello, everyone.
I am Erica Figueroa. I'm a friend of Chris and Tina Jones, and I guess a longtime listener of their Nerd Bliss podcast. Also a fellow Dragon Con goer, so they very graciously asked me to record a segment for their Nerd Bliss podcast. And tonight's episode, or today's episode, you have to forgive me, I live in Japan, so that time difference in time travel, time continuum stuff gets mixed up in my head. So that was a lame nerd joke, but you got it. This episode, for the questions they were asking of me were in reference to Star Trek Lower Decks. And here we go. I'm going to go straight into it because I think I have a lot to say about it, or more about how fandom has reacted to it. So I am, again, Erica Figueroa. I currently live in Yokosuka, Japan, which is about 30 miles south of Tokyo. I am a public affairs officer working for the Navy, U.S. Navy. Been here for about almost 4 years now. So unfortunately, I've not been able to attend any cons for the past 4 years, but I keep in contact with all of my Nerd Quad, Nerd family, via social media platforms and podcasts and YouTube shows and things of that nature. So it's important to me to maintain that relationship with not only my con family, but my fandom family, of which encompasses Star Trek, other sci-fi entertainment franchises, definitely Godzilla, which is one of the reasons why I moved to Japan to begin with. But I just love things now that I'm in my 50s that I wish I was brave enough to be open about when I was a teenager. But these have been the decades of the nerds and the geeks, and you know, and there's some nerd pride to that, but sometimes we get a little overwhelmed by what we love and what we don't love. And that's been a problem in the many fandoms that I enjoy. But be that as it may, I'll discuss that later. But that's pretty much me in a nutshell. So let's move on. So where are we? Star Trek Lower Decks is... Well, Star Trek Lower Decks is Star Trek. There, I said it. Point blank, period. It is another incarnation of Star Trek. Now, I don't expect everyone who enjoys Star Trek to enjoy every incarnation. My lord, TOS is my favorite, and there are episodes I wish they were never produced. And truly, back then, I wish they could have finished the initial five-year mission. We got a lot of good stuff in the subsequent movies with the TOS crew, but again, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't a perfect series. Neither was TNG or DS9, Voyager, Enterprise, now Discovery, Picard. Of course, we have Lower Decks. I even include the Discovery short treks. And I mean, there are so many incarnations. I know Nickelodeon's coming up. They'll be premiering a more youth-oriented animated show pretty soon. So there's a lot for anyone who happens to like Star Trek to, you know, to kind of dive in and get to know and, you know, and decide for themselves what is it about the franchise that they like and what speaks to them. But I do get a little disheartened when those who claim to be fans kind of go against each other, other fans, because they happen to like one incarnation over the other, or they find some redeeming value overall in an incarnation of the franchise. And I think Lower Decks has been kind of, I would say, maligned by some fans, because it's a comic take on Lower Decks personnel. I mean, those junior officers and enlisted personnel you really don't get to see too often unless they're on away teams and they're getting killed. I mean, or disappeared or cryogenically frozen or whatever it is that, you know, the ancillary and the tertiary and the extras, characters and the extras, you know, that are thrown into scenes. It's kind of fun. I was wary of the concept at first, but now that I've watched the first season of Lower Decks, I accept it for what it is. I mean, the showrunners, they're coming from a background of raunchy, lowbrow humor, and some of that is in Lower Decks. Some of it is just, you know, they have a hard-on for Star Trek, so they throw every Easter egg that they can into every episode, and it's kind of fun to be able to go through the episodes and kind of rewind where you may have missed something, and you find it online on Facebook or Twitter, someone screencapped something, and you're like, I didn't see that, and you go back and watch it, you're like, oh, wow, that's pretty great. And so for me, Lower Decks has just been a romp. It's just been fun. It's Star Trek, but in a way that I think is digestible. It's what, 24 minutes, 30 minutes of, you know, non-commercial fun. A few cuss words, some sexual innuendo, some flat out hilarious references to Star Trek and all of the tropes therein, the Trekkie tropes. Sometimes they're misses, but there are a lot of hits, in my opinion. Does this particular format means that it's not, it can't be true Star Trek? Well, Star Trek, in even the other incarnations like DS9, they had filler episodes, they had comedic episodes. I just think that this particular series, this particular season was just like one long filler season. And frankly, I'm okay with that. I don't need to have metaphysics thrown my way every time, or, you know, I don't necessarily have an esoteric reason for watching Star Trek sometimes. Sometimes I just want to watch it. And sometimes I just want to enjoy the entertainment of it all. And I just really like it. But moving on, because I will go down this rabbit hole real easy. If I like Star Trek, Lower Decks, what do you like about it? Well, I kind of touched on that. I mean, it's just, it's a romp. It's fun. I mean, there were some issues that they kind of broached, but overall, I think this first season, it was trying to find its footing. Are we just going to be raunchy jokes all the time, or are we going to have true discussions that Star Trek is known for? Humanity's idea of what it, you know, and when I say humanity, humans, for the most part, when we look at Starfleet and the Federation, of course, we're looking at it from a human perspective with aliens that join in on the fun. And that's one of the things I've always liked about Star Trek is that sometimes we face our own biases and bigotry and prejudice and what have you. And how would we be 200, 300 years from now? And we're, you know, traveling space and going through other galaxies and meeting beings that are very much unlike ourselves. And how would we react to that? And where Lower Decks just like, well, we're just going to take that to the funny extreme. And again, the jokes don't all land. You know, some of it's gotten a little, repetitive. But I think that the showrunners are just, they're trying to make themselves distinct from what we consider standard Star Trek fare. But, you know, but it also is not Rick and Morty. So I think that that's why I think it's a pretty good way to enjoy Trek if you have lived and breathed it as I have since 1972. And now it's kind of an escape for me. So, yeah, I mean, I really enjoy it, and I think that a lot of people need to just give it a try. So I have another question here. If you don't like Star Trek, Lower Decks, what made you dislike it? Well, I don't really dislike it. I'm not one of those who feel that it has to be excuse me, pardon me. I don't dislike it. I don't feel it's the best of Star Trek by any stretch of the imagination. I think that it's, again, my favorite word for it is a romp. I'm giggling. I'm laughing, and it's not taking itself seriously at all, though they have touched upon some serious subjects, and I'm enjoying it. So it's not that I don't dislike it. It is not the best that Star Trek has ever had to offer. But you know what? I don't think it really tried to be that. It's not trying. I don't think we're going to get an episode like In the Pale Moonlight. I don't think that we're going to get a Day of the Dove, you know, but we're going to get some snarky jokes and sometimes touch upon some things that might make us uncomfortable if we really sit down and think about it. But no, I enjoy it for the most part, but I don't dislike it. Does it fail or succeed as a comedy? I think it toes the line in being too over the top. You know, the showrunners are associated with Rick and Morty, obviously, and other. And so there's this concern about, you know, is it just going to be potty humor all the time? And it really isn't. But it toes the line. I think that that is quite possible that in season two, I think the writing is going to have to be tighter. Still keep the comedy, but, you know, we're really going to delve into some Star Trek, some of the Star Trek ethos, but not lose what makes it funny, but not just rely on straight comedy and not just throw little Easter eggs in a corner of a scene so us fanboys and girls can giggle over it, which I'm not going to stop giggling over it, but hey, what can I say? I'm a true fangirl. So I don't think it's failing right now as a Star Trek show. I feel that it needs to grow. I don't know how far they can take it. I don't know if this is going to be a 3, 5, or 7 year series. Honestly, I just don't see it unless they really go in a serious direction, which is going to be hard to do with its setup, or we're just going to go balls to the walls and say, hey, we don't care. We are going to become a Rick and Morty of Star Trek. I think that's going to an extreme that they're going to lose an audience. But that's just my personal opinion. I think it moderately succeeds as a comedy. I don't feel that it has failed. I just hope that there's more to it than that in season two. Who are my favorite characters and why? Honestly, I know this would sound weird, but well, first of all, Badgy is badass. So yeah, I think I almost pissed my pants when Badgy came on the scene. I think it was just hilarious because for some of us old heads, we remember Clippy. So you know, we remember when the save icon was actually disked. You know, we're actually disked. We saved the things on. So that nostalgia, like relating it to us who are, you know, remember computing and back in the day, and we're like, okay, Clippy, Badgy is what I wished Clippy was, like a real smart ass on the screen. But of course, that would have never happened. But now that I think about it, like, ooh, would have been funny if Clippy just came on your screen and said, what the hell are you doing? You know, and it's like, that's Badgy. But Badgy's like malevolent, like, okay, because he's pissed. And I'm like, okay, who would have thought that? Like, who would have thought to take the Starfleet badge, you know, and make that a character? Like, really? This is where we're going with this? And apparently they did. And you know what? I thank them for it. I'm okay. I guess the other characters are all fun. I do enjoy them, but really it's more about the show itself, like the overall show right now for me. I was supposed to do a rewatch before recording this, and I didn't get around to it. So I'm really like just going off of my one time going through the entire first season. And yeah, some would stand out, but mostly it's the show. It's the animation. To me, I don't know if this is going to make any sense to anyone, but the animation is a character. I think it's just fun and clean, and I just enjoy it. The ships, they're their own characters, but then more so it being animated than in the live action versions of it. So I'm not sure if I really answered that question. I'm kind of ambivalent towards some of the characters, except for Badgie, because Badgie's badass. And I just like it. And let's see. Is there anyone involved in the making of Star Trek Lower Decks that stand out for you? Well, I'm going to disappoint some of y'all, but no, not really. I think that for me, I'm really just enjoying, I just enjoyed the show, and I'm going to do a rewatch. Because there were a lot of things apparently I missed the first go round that I'm like seeing snippets of like on social media. So yeah, taking a good look at the show again, probably catching dialogue that I may have missed from laughing sometimes, or maybe I just wasn't really into it at that moment. But I do believe that I guess the animation direction really kind of sucked me in. But is there anyone in particular? I just think that as a whole, the showrunners, the voice actors, the animators, I feel that everyone's doing a good job in the Star Trek verse and the Trek verse, considering that most fans were very skeptical and just weren't really interested in saying, do we really need an adult animated version of Star Trek? And I would say yes, and that they pulled it off. Not 100%. I would give it a score of 80. 80%, they pulled it off, only because some of the laugh out loud moments in the show like totally overwhelmed the parts that we were like, yeah, really? What was the point of that scene? But so I think everyone involved in the making of this show deserves some kudos from the fans for at least just taking a chance, getting out there, and actually, you know, CBS for greenlighting it. I know it's, for them, it's probably a cash grab, because we're all wondering at what point are we going to get Star Trek saturation, and who's going to get cut off at the knees, probably like year two, year three, year four. I mean, everyone thought Discovery was going to, you know, not be renewed for season two, and look at where we are. I think Picard may have another season or two involved in it. I'm not sure. We'll see. But I think Lower Decks, everyone involved with them, I think they've done a great job. So I don't have anyone in particular. Maybe just Badgie. I don't know why I'm fascinated with Badgie. I think it's just funny to me. Some final miscellaneous thoughts about Star Trek Lower Decks. Yes, that's a deep sigh. It's a sigh because I don't have much heartburn over the show itself. It's imperfect. It's brash. It's silly. It has its redeeming value. You know, it has some good points. Whereas, you know, we get to see in animated form some of the things we wish we could see. You're seeing items coming out of the ceiling, the little hiding spot, and you're like, oh my gosh, that's the Spock helmet. That now it's canon? I mean, you know, you're laughing because you realize that helmet was most ridiculous merchandise ever. And believe me, there's been some crazy, stupid merchandising over the decades with Star Trek. That was just over the top dumb. Like, even as a kid, I was nowhere near interested in that. It was some kind of crazy space helmet and he threw Star Trek stickers on it. But thanks to Lower Decks now, we're joking about it being canon now. So, I mean, you know, it's things like that that makes the show worth watching for me. I know a lot of people have a problem that it's behind a paywall. So, you know, to get to see the bulk of the Star Trek franchise, the new stuff for Star Trek, you're having to pay for CBS All Access, especially in the United States. Fortunately for me, living in Japan, with a legal VPN, Japanese internet, I'm able to watch it on Netflix because Discovery is on Netflix outside of the U.S. and Picard is soon to be on Amazon Prime in Asia, but it's on Amazon Prime, I think, in Europe. So for those of us expats who are out of the country, we're able to enjoy some of it. I chose to pay for it. And initially, when CBS All Access came out with their streaming service, I was very pissy. I was not going to pay them. It was, you know, I'll smoke a $15 cigar in an hour and a half, but I won't pay $7.99 a month for CBS All Access, you know, yada, yada, yada. I was like a lot of other people. And frankly, some people just couldn't afford that. You know, some people, you know, they have bills to pay and a family to take care of. And yeah, $8, $9 or what have you a month for something like that is a lot. So, you know, I don't fault those who really couldn't afford to do it and they were frustrated because they love Star Trek and they want anything Star Trek, you know, so they can enjoy it. But I went ahead and got CBS All Access because, one, I could afford it. And then I realized that, you know, I'm supporting, my money is going towards maybe further creation of a more Star Trek inspired series or what have you, addition to the franchise. Hopefully those of us who are paying for the service, we're helping to support and keep the shows going. So now Discovery and Picard, and we're going to have some more shows coming up, and I think it's amazing and wonderful. And and that's why I feel like Lower Decks needed to get a fair shake from everyone. You know, you don't have to love it. Again, you don't have to love it. I still have heartburn over the Final Frontier. Like, really? And to this day, I will die on this hill. Insurrection was a two-part TV episodes. It was not worthy of being on the big screen. Say it. I will die on this hill. Don't care what anyone says. So my thoughts on Lower Decks is that it's imperfect, as is the rest of the franchise. I mean, I still would just get goosebumps, and not in a good way, when the theme song of Enterprise comes on. And I don't even know why I have this irrational disdain for this song. It really isn't that bad. And the lyrics are okay, but for some reason it just irks me. And so, like, but do I hate Enterprise for it? No. Enterprise came into its own at the end of season 2, season 3, and it was amazing after that, in my opinion. And so that's what I want people to take away from how my opinion about Lower Decks, that give it a chance. Not every episode is going to be great. Well, hell, not every episode is going to be good, but it is part of the franchise. You know, I'm not going to stomp my feet and throw a temper tantrum and say, it is not Star Trek. I'm like, really? It says Star Trek in the title. So, you know, CBS greenlit it. It's being paid and funded and distributed. Honey, it's Star Trek. If Insurrection could be Star Trek, Lower Decks could be Star Trek. I think, well, you know, I'm one of the few to like Nemesis. Good Lord, the hate that movie received. But you know what? Star Trek didn't end because something ended up not being great, did not meet expectations, was not what we thought it should or could have been. That's the enduring beauty of Star Trek. Since 1966, it is now 2020, and beyond. We have a science fiction franchise that anyone from kids to elderly folk to non-Americans, we're talking non-English speakers, people from all cultures around this big blue rock can watch and try to understand. And I think in a way that Star Trek makes us better because it gives us hope for what could be. And even though some episodes are terrible, downright horrible, some are frightening and scary, some are, you know, funny, and some are sad, it will continue to have this enduring legacy. And no one show, no one theme song, no one episode or movie can destroy that. So I say give every incarnation a try, a good old-fashioned try. And I mean, get through at least the first 3 to 4 episodes of the season and see if it's something that you can learn to like. And if you don't like it, don't like it. But let's not eat each other over what we perceive, what is real Star Trek and what isn't. It says Star Trek, it is Star Trek. And it might not be your favorite Star Trek, and that's okay. Because that's the beauty of Star Trek. Infinite diversity and infinite combination. Well, I think that's all I have. Some of this hopefully will be edited because I probably sounded like a dork and I rambled a bit. But, you know, I want to thank Chris and Tina for giving me an opportunity to just ramble on about one of my favorite franchises of all time, which is Star Trek. And don't get me wrong, I love Star Wars. I love Dune. I love Battlestar Galactica. I mean, Farscape. Oh, my Lord. Farscape is still one of my favorite shows of all time. I rewatch that at least once a year. Finally got into Babylon 5 and did a full first time watch of that series to include the movies, thanks to Amazon Prime. So there's so much out there and there's so much more to come. I mean, I'm reading a lot of Audible books now, listening to Audible books. I have a library of Star Trek books and other science fiction tomes. This is a good time for everyone to fly their geek flag, as they say, but just enjoy what you enjoy because it's out there now, you know, and enjoy it, love it, immerse yourself in it. And if you try and if you don't like it, there's so much more out there to read and to watch and to listen to. And that includes Star Trek. We're talking about many hundreds of hours, broadcast hours, and what, 13, 14 movies, and hundreds of books, of novels, and actual nonfiction books. There's so much to Star Trek to love, and not everything is going to be perfect. So my last word on it is Lower Decks is Star Trek, and I for one am grateful that it's there. You guys take care of yourself. If you want to reach out to me, you can find me on Facebook. I'm Erica Yvette Figueroa. I also admin a charity-based Star Trek sci-fi enthusiast Facebook page. It's called the Alliance of Sci-Fi Fanatics. So just give me a holler. And again, thanks to Chris and Tina for affording me the opportunity to ramble on again. Alrighty, you guys take care and sayonara.
Thank you so much, Erica. And folks, I gotta tell you, Erica is one of my favorite people on the planet. And Erica, if you're listening, your geek family definitely misses you. One day when you're home from Japan and this accursed lockdown is over, there will be a con. There will be drinks and there will be hugging, not necessarily in that order. Just know that there will be much, much joy when we get to see you again. And hopefully a little debauchery too. All right, so Question number three in our Star Trek Lower Decks trivia was, what class of starship is the Cerritos? The answer is, it is a California class ship. On to question number four. In the episode Terminal Provocations, what is the name of the dance that is popular with the Cerritos crew? The answer to that question, of course, coming after our next contributor. My friends, what Erica's segment gave us in detail and commentary, our next contributor matched in succinctness and brevity. And you know what? That is perfectly fine with us. We still very much enjoyed his input and his answers. We're going to throw it over now to our friend, Jeff Jewell.
Hello, Nerd Bliss. This is amateur prophet and professional iconoclast Jeff Jewell talking about Star Trek Lower Decks. Star Trek Lower Decks is an animated comedy, part of an expansion project of the Star Trek universe. In particular, it's one of the not-for-kiddies cartoons with an edgier take on Starfleet from the eyes of the less glamorous personnel. I am a fan of the Roddenberry mythos and his societal ideals, and the show struck a chord with me with the way the main characters struggle with system-imposed and even self-imposed classism and determinism within that, quote, more ideal, unquote, structure. The show doesn't break much new ground, hitting all the expected tropes, making all the expected references, and even bringing to mind other less childlike animated series. It's not a great comedy. It's not particularly cleverly written. It's a funny enough regular old TV show. I think the show does have a valid take on the Star Trek universe, and the chosen format probably fits that irreverent take very well, if not even stereotypically. Overall, I very much like the first season of the show. I fairly quickly identified with three of the main characters, Mariner, Boimler, and Rutherford, as I recognized aspects of them and myself as I confront my real-life systemic and self-imposed classism and determinism. One subplot that stood out in a good way for me was Rutherford trying different jobs. In particular, I was impressed with the Roddenberry feel of the commanders being positive and supportive of Rutherford, learning more, trying new things, and ultimately being true to himself. I'm enjoying the interaction between Boimler and Mariner, because they reflect such strong parts of me. Something of a professional iconoclast herself, Mariner does take her self-destructive tendencies farther than I have managed to date, and even though I do have a couple scars of which I love to tell the story, I am mostly the experience through studying Boimler type. I felt absolutely called out in the Boimler Effect episode, finding the line between getting the needful done and checking all the documentary tick marks is a daily struggle for me. I can't say I loved the climax of that episode, but I can't say I'm coming up with anything better in real life either. One thing that did jump out at me from a not exactly technical standpoint, but an interesting choice, was how much Noelle Wells' Tendi character voice in reminded me of Judy Greer, particularly as Cheryl in Archer. Just given the types of shows the two are, there might be already some ground for some comparison. So I just thought the voice choice was a little on the nose. Summing up, I like the show, and I'm looking forward to seeing more. Not because it's a great comedy that keeps me laughing. Not because there's something Star Trek-y that I get a fix from. But just because I like these characters, I identify with their situation, and I'm fascinated to see how they react. Thanks, Chris and Tina, for the opportunity, and stay blissful, nerds.
All right, Jeff Jewell, thank you so much. A couple of questions for you, Jeff. I was wondering what the job market was like in the iconoclast field right now. I know we're in a down economy, but I was just curious. I was, you know, thinking about maybe branching out. Also, I'm interested in the amateur prophet thing. Like, what's the structure there? Is there like farm teams of prophets? You're like AA, AAA? Are there Pop Warner prophets? Yeah, I'm just curious. All right, folks. Question number four in the Star Trek Lower Decks trivia was, what was the name of the dance that was popular with the Cerritos crew in the episode Terminal Provocations? And that was, of course, the choo-choo dance. Question number five. In the episode Temporal Edict, Captain Freeman, realizing the importance of buffer time and not always strictly adhering to the rules, issues a ship-wide mandate called what? Again, what was the name of the ship-wide mandate issued by Captain Freeman in the episode Temporal Edict? All right, our next contributor is Klingon costuming connoisseur Layla McMichael.
Hello, by way of introduction, I am Layla McMichael. I'm a member of the Klingon Assault Group, which is a Star Trek fan club. My main cosplay character is a Klingon named Keela, but I also do Vulcan, Trill, Orion, Borg, and Andorian personas. I love all franchises of Star Trek, and I'm especially fond of this latest incarnation, Star Trek Lower Decks. Number two, Star Trek Lower Decks is an irreverent and loving animated homage to all things Trek, as told by the Lower Decks crew of the USS Cerritos, a Second Contact Federation vessel. Of course, as a cartoon representation of the Star Trek universe and mythos, some of these situations are kind of contrived for storyline and unrealistic for theatrical applications, but the episodes are still interesting and full of all kinds of humor and adventure. Number three, if you like Star Trek Lower Decks, what do you like about it? I do like Star Trek Lower Decks. I find it amusing and entertaining. As far as the characters are concerned, my two favorites are Ensign Decker Mariner and Bradford Boimler. I like the dichotomy between Mariner's sassy irreverence, flaunting of protocol and street smart space savvy, and Boimler's Starfleet officer wannabe, straight as an arrow, by the book outlook. They have different perspectives, but in the end, both learn from each other and actually earn each other's respect despite their differences. I love Mariner's quick and sometimes blistering commentary on the various situations that she and the rest of the crew find themselves. My favorite quip of hers happens when the Galrakians were accidentally insulted by the presentation of the wooden fertility symbol of their sworn enemies, and Commander Ransom's ensuing attempts to stop the fighting with some classic Jack Ransom peace brokering. He tells Mariner to watch and learn. It's going to be awesome. When Ransom is felled by a blow to the groin and covered with an electrified net, Mariner exclaims, "All right, that was awesome." I laughed till I cried. In her own words, Mariner gets off on breaking protocol, exploring new worlds, solving space mysteries, and kicking asses, like a female Kirk with PMS. This gets her in trouble with command, but sometimes Captain Freeman, her mother, acknowledges that breaking protocol is the only way to get things done and save the day. The Galrakian episode introduced the budding sexual tension between feuding Mariner and Ransom. I love this plot twist, and I hope this storyline continues to be developed in future episodes. Number four, if you didn't like Star Trek Lower Decks, what made you dislike it? As I said, I like the show. There is, however, one aspect of Lower Decks that gives me great pause, and that is the character of Badgie, the murderous AI program who appears in two episodes. That was a little over the top, in my humble opinion. The only other negative that comes to mind is that I wish they had allowed Jonathan Frakes, Marina Sirtis, and John Delancey to use their unenhanced voices in their parts. It was hard for me to recognize the voiceovers as belonging to these actors. I think it was a mistake to alter their voices to make them more compatible with an animated presentation. Number five, in what ways does Star Trek Lower Decks succeed or fail as a comedy? It succeeds because it provides an intense arena of negative situations from which humor arises. Psychologists and behavioral scientists think that people cope with the stressors of daily existence and their normal worldview by laughing at it or mocking it in some fashion. The key, according to a 2013 online article by the Association for Psychological Science, is the benign violation theory. In the article, according to Peter McGraw of the University of Colorado, people are amused by moral violations, but only if these violations are basically harmless. The article states, when the tone of a threat is playful or the setting is safe, a scenario that might otherwise elicit sadness or fear in the viewer instead leads to laughter. The storylines of Lower Decks is chock full of all kinds of these scenarios, even if contrived for effect for plot development, and therefore are generally very funny, even if you groan while laughing. Number 6. In what ways does Star Trek Lower Decks succeed or fail as a Star Trek show? I think it succeeds because it grounds itself in past Trek lore, with many references to situations and characters from many of the franchises. And in general, it follows the mythos of Star Trek, exploring new worlds and being a good force in the universe. Number 7. If you like the show, who are your favorite characters and why? I have already mentioned Mariner and Boimler as my favorites, with Ransom's story arc with Mariner thrown in for spice. But I like the characters of Tendi and Rutherford as well. Tendi is exuberant and fresh, and Rutherford is full of potential with his good heart and his cybernetic enhancements. But it is their love for the aging starship Cerritos that is very endearing to me. Number 8, is there anyone involved in the making of Star Trek Lower Decks that stands out for you? I love that Jerry O'Connell voices Ransom. Sliders was a favorite science fiction show of mine, and I'm very pleased that Jerry is an excellent voice actor as well. Number 9, final or miscellaneous thoughts about Star Trek Lower Decks. While I love watching Star Trek Lower Decks, the animation and special effects of the program is great. I hope this series is enjoyed by all the fans and continues for many seasons to come. I personally cannot wait for season 2. So thank you very much for letting me share my point of view, and live long and prosper.
Thank you very much, Leela, for that very insightful commentary and contribution. We very much appreciate you participating in this episode. Guys, I do want to point out that Leela called in her answers on the Nerdbliss call-in line. And I just wanted to let you know that is something that is available to you as well, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It always goes to voicemail. You don't ever have to worry about the awkwardness of one of us picking up and trying to have a conversation with you. And if you'd like to give us feedback on this episode or any other episode or just anything you want to talk about, just give us a call at 864-715-9446. Now for the answer for Star Trek Lower Decks trivia question number 5. What was the name of the shipwide mandate put in place by Captain Freeman in the episode Temporal Edict? And that would be the Boimler effect. You heard Jeff Jewell reference that earlier. And basically, it was to remind the crew that you don't always have to keep the most strict adherence to the rules for the sake of survival. Moving on to question number 6. The design of the USS Titan, as seen in Star Trek Lower Decks, was the winning entry in a design contest from March 2005, hosted by what Star Trek book publisher? While you're thinking about that, we are going to wrap up part one of the epilogue and listen to the entry submitted to us by Brian Holloway.
Hello there, podcast friends and fans. My name is Brian Holloway, and some of you may know me from a variety of different venues. I am one of the production assistants for the Atlanta-based convention, Treklanta, one of the program directors. Additionally, a lot of people know me as actor, costumer, or makeup specialist for a variety of fan films, television programs, and stage productions. And I'm probably most notably known for my work as actor, part-time costumer, and makeup and special effects makeup supervisor for the internet fan series Star Trek New Voyages Phase 2. The wonderful people here at Nerd Bliss Podcast reached out to me and asked if I'd be willing to field a few questions as we discuss all things Star Trek and, more importantly, Lower Decks. Let's go on with some of the questions we have here. The first question, of course, that I would ask is, to me, Lower Decks is, and I would have to say it is a welcome surprise. Now, I realize that some of these questions will overlap and some of the answers will additionally overlap, but I think this is a question that deserves a rather full answer. When I first heard about Lower Decks and saw some of the early animation pictures and such like that, I have to admit that I was not impressed. I'm not a big fan of the Rick and Morty style animations, and to me, some of the stuff out there today has gotten a little slipshod and a little sketchy. I can't say that I'm a fan of the animation any more than I was at the beginning, but I will say it's a welcome surprise because the storylines, although sometimes a little silly and a little campy, are definitely Star Trek. They're definitely Trek approved. There's a lot of things that go on, and there's a lot of little Trek tidbits and Trek Easter eggs and stuff that they're throwing into the show. And I think by accident, I kind of came to enjoy the characters. You know, the four or five main characters that we have on the series are enjoyable. They're very reminiscent of some of the characters that are primarily like TNG or DS9 or Voyager, that era, that style. I don't know that many of them really embrace the TOS mindset, which is my favorite. There's really nothing there that goes after even the motion pictures or, you know, the Wrath of Khan era and forward. That's not really there either. And I don't know that they really even do anything that incorporates Enterprise, which, again, is one of my favorite theories. That may be an arguable point, but it's one that I stand behind. But I do have to say that Lower Decks was a welcomed surprise. It's something I really didn't expect to enjoy. And in fact, before even its first episode came out, I was quite obviously a naysayer. Now, the next question I was asked is, you know, if I do like Lower Decks, which I think I do, what do I like about it? I think I just covered part of that. I do like the storylines. I like the character development. And I like the way that it is staying reminiscent and true to the visuals that we saw in Next Generation and DS9 and Voyager, while at the same time introducing some new items and some new characters and some new elements that could have been in the original series, you know, like in Next Generation. The series from 87 and forward, but they weren't because of maybe money or the fact that it would require location shooting, the time to shoot the episode, or things of that nature. So I think this is a great way to bridge the gap. Now, would these stories stand on their own, or would they be well translated to live action? In my opinion, probably not. There's elements to it that I think are really kind of, you know, specific to the animated realm, and I don't know that they would translate as well. Not to say that they couldn't be made into live action, I just don't know if they would stand up nearly as well. Okay, some of the episodes I really seem to enjoy. Of course, you know, how can you not enjoy Q popping in and some of the other reference points they make. I love the episode where they kind of went back to the Klingon style courtroom, even though it was a different race. I like the fact that they can take us forward in some ways the way TOS did, and then pull that switcheroo at the end and makes us kind of sit back and say, okay, this wasn't what I thought it was. All right. I like some of the planets they've gone to and some of the other things they've done with those planets and the people on them. I was particularly a big fan of the episode where Boimler got a girlfriend, which, you know, that was something that I think throughout the entire run of TNG, we really wanted to see that happen to Wesley, so he stopped being the little whiny character that he tended to be episode after episode, much the way it happened with, like, Wesley and Robin Leffler and stuff like that. Of course, Boimler kind of gets shot down, and, you know, things become more and more difficult. So, you know, hopefully we'll see more of Boimler's girlfriend in the second season and see if that's definitely a relationship that develops. And I'm interested to see where things go and how we keep it Lower Decks and still allow some of the characters to progress. I mean, of course, we had Harry Kim on Voyager, who stayed in Ensign for the entire 7-year run. But I think the fact that it's Lower Deck, I'd like to see some of these characters actually advance and stay there, kind of like the way Boimler did in the last episode. You know, have them stay there as opposed to roll back and be a lower character. So it's going to be interesting to see where Lower Decks progresses beyond that. Now, there were some things about it I didn't like. Like I said, I'm not a big fan of that animation. If they had done the animation perhaps in the style of Young Justice, or if they had done something maybe even in the style of Archer, I think I would have enjoyed that a little bit more. It has a more realistic feel, which is like what I think is a genuine hook when it comes to Star Trek. I think the fact that everything Star Trek, for the most part, does seem to be grounded in some sense of reality, and putting that style of animation to me almost seemed like they were pandering to a set audience or set style, rather than bring the audience up to a higher level of animation that could be enjoyed not only now, but in years to come. There may eventually come a time, if you look back on like Ren and Stimpy and stuff like that, fun, interesting, great. But even today, if you go back to Ren and Stimpy, some of that stuff is a little gauche. It's a little cliche. And yet you can go back to the 70s version of the animated Star Trek. And even though it's a very two-dimensional looking animation, almost like a comic book on the screen, there's still a part to it that even, you know, all these years later makes you sit back and say, that's still very much Star Trek. I can see Spock. I can see Kirk. I can see, you know, I don't mind the fact that there are new characters in here. To me, I think that, again, they're trying to pander to the adult audience, but I think they're also trying to capture kids. The obvious problem, of course, here is the fact that as you go after the younger audiences and kids, there's enough adult-style references and even the occasional bleeped-over or overlaid profanity that, to me, is a bit of a turnoff. I don't think we need to go that direction to make a show like that. So I think that there, to me, it's almost a forced language or a forced profanity or forced swearing, you know, just to kind of say, okay, we can be tough and we can be bad as well. I don't think it's really necessary. And I don't think it really will stand the test of time as much as maybe the writers and such are hoping for. Another question that they asked me is, in what ways does Lower Decks succeed or fail as a comedy? Well, it's very much tongue-in-cheek. It's very much presented as a comedy. Although there were aspects of TNG and DS9 and Voyager that were comedic, I think it fails in the fact that it relies too much on that slapstick comedy, too much on what part of the uniform is going to get ripped this time, what trouble is Boimler going to get us into. It's almost those Scooby-Doo kind of characters. They're almost formulaic. You've got the buffoon. You've got the, you know, you've got the daughter of the captain who is sort of on the outs, and you always expect her to be the troublemaker and the rogue and stuff like that. You've got the overzealous ensign who's trying to overdo everything, and then you've got the engineering guy who is just absolutely, you know, just dead set on, he's got that Scotty kind of engineering love going on. To the point, almost too formulaic. I'd like to see him, like in real series, I'd like to see them take these characters occasionally, pull them out of their comfort zone. I'd like to see them maybe have to do something that they don't originally plan to do while still being Lower Decks characters. They can still be ensigns. They can still be crewmen. They can still be, you know, that doesn't bother me. But I'd like to see them thrust into a situation that perhaps they're not ready for. It just seems like, again, it's the half-hour sitcom that says we can throw the universe at you and then magically wrap it up in the last 3 seconds with some neat, kitschy, campy sort of ribbon tied on it to say, aren't we clever? And I think that's almost skirting the limits of what is acceptable or almost playing down to the audience. And many, many times, although I found myself laughing, I also found myself saying, this is almost ridiculous, almost theater of the absurd. And I think it kind of failed in that regard. Not to say it wasn't funny, not to say it wasn't enjoyable, but I just think that as a sustainable series, which I think it has the ability to run for several years, I think it is sustainable. But I think they're going to have to mix it up. I think it's going to have to be something else going on that would make people tune in. I think this formula, after a while, is probably going to get a little old. Okay? Now, of course, there's always the question that comes up, your favorite characters. I'm going to say, you know, there are many really, really good characters on the show. The security guard, I loved. Unfortunately, they killed him off. But I just thought, you know, when you saw him from time to time, you know, there were interesting characters. Boimler, of course, I wanted to dislike. I wanted to hate. There were a lot of things about him I didn't want to, and I found myself enjoying him more and more as things progressed. So I have to sit back and say, you know, I have a certain love for Boimler. I just think it's a fun character, and I think it's one that's worth like looking at and going back over, different scenarios, different situations, and making him, you know, he's the catch-all of all the jokes, but it's sometimes he's the hidden hero. Of course, Mariner is an amazing character, right? It's well written, well performed. I think everything about Mariner is cool. Even though she comes across as a real pain in the ass, it's almost like being in a room with a middle school kid who sits there and says, "Dig me, dig me, dig me," you know, all the time. And I don't know if that's, you know, how long that's going to take before it wears. But I'm starting to think, based on the latter episodes of the first season, that the character of Mariner is changing a little bit. And I'm liking that. It's going to be interesting, again, to see what they do in the second season, simply because there's so much that can be done with these characters. They're so fresh. Something else I like. They're so fresh. They're so unique. They're so new. In my opinion, it's kind of go hot and cold constantly. Tendi, again, is a wonderful character. There's a lot about Tendi that I think is just really interesting. I want to see them explore it more, but I want her to become less of the newbie, less of the neophyte, and more of the, I'm going to just really jump in there with both hands. She almost seems a little reserved and yet very secure in the things that she does. So I'm kind of wanting to see what can we add to the mix that makes her a little less secure. Maybe even an episode where she doesn't 100% succeed, that by the end she's the one left with the empty bag and wondering what happened. I mean, there's just too much exuberance, there's too much wide-eyed optimism and stuff that just kind of makes me sit back and go, you know, I love the character, but there are times you just want to drive a spike through her head. It's almost too much, and I want to see that like picking down a bit, you know, not necessarily watered down. Ransom is too much like Riker, intentionally so. And I just, there's not enough about Ransom that really makes me want to, I don't dislike him, but I don't really want to embrace him either. So, you know, I'm sort of looking at it going, is there anything there that just really, wraps me up into it? I'm just kind of saying, no, not really. So, you know, as you get into it more and more, as you start looking at the different characters and stuff, you know, those are the things that I look at and I say, you know, is this good? Is this cool? Is this productive? Is this, you know, anything? And there are parts of it that, of course, I do enjoy. Like I said, and there are parts that I think need a little help. But I don't think that it's beyond the ability to be salvaged. And I don't think it's an absolute wash. I'm just not bowled over by, you know, if it were to go on another 2 or 3 years, that'd be great. If they came back and said, we're going to cancel it halfway through the second season because of ratings, I would miss it because it's cute, but I'd only miss it for about a month. And then I kind of sit back. You know, I'm kind of waiting until the second season comes out to sort of see what my thoughts and feelings are. Do I really sit back and jump into it and say, oh God, I have to watch this? Or do I wait for 3 or 4 episodes to air and listen and look at the various comments on social media and then say, yeah, okay, I'm going to go back and do it. In other words, I'm not chomping at the bit for it. I like it, but I'm not necessarily jumping up and down and I have to see this. You know, the obvious next question comes out is there anybody in this production, involved in putting it together that really, like, stand out for me? Yeah, for me, it would have to be Jonathan Frakes. I mean, the fact that he's involved with this and the other things as well, that he's doing different character things with the series. I can honestly say that, as usual, Frakes does stand out. Now, only, you know, marginally. Beyond that, I'd have to say that, Boimler, you know, after watching, you know, the stuff he's done on The Boys, and then seeing how he's bringing some of that to Boimler, but not obviously that's to me the standout character. That's the one that's really kind of the one I want to watch. Okay, I'm curious about, and forgive me, I'm blanking on the engineer's name, and that's absolutely horrendous. I didn't do my research before this, and I can let go. But the engineer character, and forgive me for forgetting his name. But the engineer character, I really want to see what they do with him, because there were some dichotomy they had in there. There were some fastidious character that were obvious and some that seemed a little hidden. I really want to see what they do with that character. Some of them are obvious, and I'm thinking that that's the one, that actor or that character. For me, I think that that's the one that kind of diamond in the rough kind of thing. I'm waiting to see what happens with it. The creator of the series, I can't really say, I'm a fan or not or what have you, simply because I'm not a fan of Rick and Morty. I haven't seen his other stuff. I mean, I've seen some of the Rick and Morty episodes. It's just that style of animation just turns me off. I'm not a big fan. And if there's any one thing about Lower Decks that I would say I don't like, that would have to be it. It's the style of animation. So that kind of goes through some of the questions I asked and some of the stuff that I know I can comment on. I guess in closing, I would say after one season, much like all the other Star Trek series that have been out there, after one season, it's very, very difficult to sort of formulate a solid answer. There are things I like and things I didn't like, obviously. There are some things that are extremely memorable and some things that, again, completely slipped my mind, regardless of how much I like them. But it's not hanging with me. So it's going to be interesting to see how they unfold this in the second, third, maybe even fourth season. See where they go. How many times do they go back to the well and dip into this before it gets trite? It's that kind of thing. How many episodes are going to be solid and how many are going to be like a total miss where you kind of sit back and go, if, for example, if the Orville is, and pardon me for saying so, but if the Orville is the poor man's Next Generation, then I'm looking at Lower Decks as the poor man's Orville. There are things there that are fun and interesting, but I think they're relying too much on the cheap laughs and the cheap jokes and not really developing as solid a story as they can. Not to say the stories aren't solid, but I think they could be a lot. It can have some more depth to them. The fact that it's a 30-minute format doesn't matter. They did the same thing with the animated series, and they were able to evolve and develop very solid stories. Again, I am looking forward to Prodigy and what they do with that one, and being an animated series as well. So I'm waiting to see is this going to be a trend in animation, or are we going to see some things that develop and grow and get better as time goes by? As always, Trek is Trek. So I will watch. I will tune in at some point. I will go back and look at it. It may be the diamond in the rough that I leave alone for a while and come back to a month or 2 months or 6 months or a year later and find myself going, damn, I should have watched more of this. This is actually pretty good. It may be the series that I learned to love to hate. It could go anyway right now. So my thought is, let's see what we can do. Let's see where they go. If you are enjoying it, I absolutely applaud you. And, God love you. Because, again, Trek is Trek and it's fun. If you don't like the series, that's fine. I don't know why you'd be listening to this podcast unless you're just trying to get some new insight. But if you do enjoy it, if you do like it, great, fantastic. Let the Nerd Bliss podcast know. And if you like more of these types of programs, reach out. Tell the podcast master that you want more like random input shows. And if you liked me, well, God love you, because you obviously are in need of severe medical attention. But I hope you guys out there have fun. Keep on trekking. Stay safe and stay healthy, guys. Live long and prosper.
Thank you very much, Brian Holloway, for your thoughts and opinions on Star Trek Lower Decks and for sharing those with us and for handling some of my outro for me. We are going to cover that in just a moment. First, we're going to finish up our Star Trek Lower Decks trivia with question number 6, which was, the design of the Titan as seen in Star Trek Lower Decks was the winner of a design contest held by what Star Trek book publisher? And that publisher was Pocket Books. Back in March 2005, they had a contest to design Riker's ship, and what you saw in Lower Decks was the winning design. Now, going back to what Brian was telling you, from his mouth to your ear, of course, let us know if this is something you like. Guys, I was a little bit worried about, I feel like I'm saturating you with Lower Decks. And maybe I am, but certainly if you agree with that assessment, let us know. It's equally important to let me know if you like it. We tend to get most of the things that people don't like in our feedback. And you know what? That's fine. That's human nature. It is just is what it is. But we have many, many ways for you to contact us. Our website is nerdblisspodcast.com. Our email address is nerdblisspod@gmail.com. You can comment on our social media posts to let us know what you think of our material. We are on all of our social media outlets with the handle @nerdblisspod. And once more, our call-in line is 864-715-9446. You can text that number. You can leave a voicemail at that number, but you will never have to actually talk to a live person. And it is available 24 hours a day. All right, well, that is going to do it for episode 134, Epilogue Part 1. We have the rest of our contributors coming up in Part 2, and likely a bit more trivia for you as well. Once again, keep on the lookout for episode 134, Epilogue Part 2, as well as our next episode, 135, which will be on The Mandalorian. You're not going to want to miss that. Our theme song is a modified version of Hyperdrive by Jens Kilstofta and is licensed to us for use by Machinima Sound. If you like what you're hearing on Nerd Bliss, please consider supporting us on Patreon. We offer bonus content for as little as $1 a month, and we would very, very much appreciate your help. That is going to be patreon.com/nerdblisspod. Once again, thank you so much for listening to Nerd Bliss. Nerd Bliss is a part of the ESO Network and a product of 4 Foot One Media.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.